hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, I haven't seen anyone do that, and thank God. But that proves the point that he exaggerates at times, not to mislead us, but to make sure that we get the point. So back to the question at hand, no pun intended. What do the other verses of Scripture tell us about calling someone father? Well, in the Acts of the Apostles, St. Stephen addresses the Jewish elders as dear fathers. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul refers to himself as a spiritual father. Likewise, the beloved disciple, John, referred to the leaders of the congregation as fathers. God himself, when providing us with the Ten Commandments, said, "Honor thy father and mother." So, we're not supposed to take these specific words of Jesus literally. Then what are we to make of them? Well, let's read what he said once again. "Call no one on father, no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven." The emphasis is on the fact that our ultimate and most real father is God in heaven. Priests who are called father are not a priest in their own right. I'm not ordained into the priesthood of Andrew Burkamp. I'm ordained into the priesthood of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the Father in heaven. We call priests father because they're supposed to represent the spiritual paternity of our Father in heaven, which Jesus is compelling us to focus on, urging us to orient our lives towards. It is a reminder that in him we live and move and have our being, as St. Luke says in the Acts of the Apostles. We are created by God and for God. Everything we think, say, and do ought to be for the glory of God and our salvation. At the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is that we have served God and not ourselves. We have one Father who is in heaven. Anything we do only has value if we have loved and served him. Because again, at the end of the day, we only answer to him. But as we all know, we're constantly tempted to serve others. We feel compelled to please others, whether it's at work, school, at home. We feel the need to impress people, to please others, without asking the question, does this please God? The sad reality of it is that this compulsion to please others is not sustainable. If I do manage to please my coworkers or boss or impress them somehow, then I begin to feel anxious about not messing up. How do I maintain that good impression that I left on them? I'm stressed out about not undoing what I've achieved. Or if we do fail to live up to certain expectations, then we feel a need to explain ourselves, feeling the need to be understood, coming up with some form of an excuse. And this isn't just in the workplace either. It's everywhere. When was the last time you used social media solely for the purpose of reaching out to that long-lost friend, having a meaningful conversation with somebody? Because that's what we always say. Well, I use that social media, you know, for good conversations with friends and, you know, something that really lifts me up. Chances are, the last time we used it to check out what was going on in someone else's life, verging upon snooping a little bit, or to post something to make sure other people were made aware that I'm still here. I still exist. Here's what's going on in my life. I need you to know. This is a deep-seated desire to please and impress others, to somehow receive affirmation that we crave. But the thing is, unlike the expectations and need to impress others, whether at work or with friends or even at home within the family, unlike those relations, God has no intention of placing that type of burden on us. He wants to provide a true and enduring affirmation. Yes, he does have expectations for us, but they are not founded on a false sense of fulfillment. They are ordered around our true and lasting happiness, God himself. And so the pursuit of something so good, God himself, doesn't foster anxiety that stems from pursuing worldly ends. And when we fail, because we all sin, we don't have to construct some elaborate explanation in order to be understood. God made us. He knows us. He understands us before we even approach him. And besides, excuses do no good, especially when we try to sell God on them. We have one Father in heaven, and as a Father, he does not desire you to serve him or to please him in a servile way. He wants you to be convinced beyond a doubt that his love truly is enough for you. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God,